Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, before I even start this sermon, I want to tell you that if I lapse into what sounds like a southern accent, it's because I was born in West Virginia, and I'm talking about people from Texas. So please, I am not trying to offend anybody from Texas. It's just that when I do a southern accent, I can't help myself. I am from West Virginia. Okay, that's a disclaimer. Now, I don't know how many of you guys watch King of the Hill. Anybody watch King of the Hill? Will you admit that you watch King of the Hill? It's a cartoon, one of those grown-up cartoons. And it is about Hank and Peggy and Bobby and their niece, Luann, and her boyfriend, Lucky. And they all live in Texas. And Hank is a guy who hangs out in the alley with his three friends, and they drink beer and try to figure out life. Hank is a good guy, but he's always trying to figure out life, right? Well, one Sunday, the family's in the car, and they're late for church. And Hank says, Bobby, it's spring forward, not spring backwards. So they're in the car rushing to church. They get stopped by a train. And when they get to church, there's a family sitting in their seats. And Hank says politely, pardon me, these are our seats. You're probably new here. This is where my family always sits. Could you sit somewhere else? And then he offers to help them move their stuff. And so the family says, we are staying here. Maybe you should sit somewhere else. Well, after they go around a few more times, Hank and his family end up in the last pew. And Hank goes, I can't hear anything back here. And now the sun is going to bounce off the cross and hit me in the eyes. Dang it. I mean, he is so mad that he has to sit somewhere else. So later, Hank's back in the alley, and he's complaining to his buddies that he knows that God is up there, and that God knows that every Sunday for 12 years, he's in the second pew on the left, right smack dab in the middle, and that's just the way it is. So one of his friends say, Hank, it was pretty embarrassing when you yelled, what, in the middle of the sermon, which actually has happened here, by the way. So Hank and Peggy have this long discussion, and they're both very upset. And Reverend Stroop, who is a woman, their pastor, at the Arlen United Methodist Church in Texas, they decide that they're just so mad at her because she doesn't understand what the important things are in life, right? So Peggy says, well, I don't think we should go back. I think we should go to that big mega church. And Hank says, don't they have like 5,000 people? And she says, yes, and they pamper every single one of them. She says they have a coffee shop and a florist and a bank and a mini mart and a dry cleaner that accepts all manufacturers' coupons. And Hank says, well, if that's what I wanted, I could walk around the mall and think about Jesus. So Peggy says, okay. Then you and me and our son will live the barren lives of secular humanists. I really liked that line. Hanks decides that this is just a misunderstanding. All he needs to do is go talk to Reverend Stroop. So he goes and he says, those people were in our seat. She says, oh, the Smiths, what a lovely family. And they sing, you know. And she says, no, you don't understand. They're in our seats. And she says, you're kidding, right? And he says, no, we've been sitting in that pew for 12 years and we need your help. How about if I make signs and we'll assign seats? And she says, Hank, even if I wanted to, I couldn't. This is not my house or your house. This is God's house. And so she also says to him, you know, and Hank, at times like this, I like to ask myself, what would Jesus do? And what I think Jesus would do would say, grow up. So the family gets mad. They begin to church hop, shop. And that doesn't go too well. The people Hank works with take him around a whole bunch of churches. The first one is Pentecostal. So the whole service is his friend up front with the Bible yelling, Jesus, 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 Jesus. The second is his Hispanic friends take him to their Catholic church, and everybody keeps getting up and down. He's very confused. He bumps his head going down one time. That doesn't work. Well, all of this convinces them, okay, they'll try the megachurch. And Peggy says, look, we have to try it. The pastor used to be a quarterback for the Texas Longhorns. So they do. They go to the church, and all around the church, there is a coffee shop, and there are people in golf carts with microphones, walkie-talkies. You know, I mean, it's just 5,000 members. There's a tram that takes you from your car to the church from the parking lot. And things go along really well for a while. For one thing, Hank is very happy. There is assigned seating. And Hank says, this church really understands customer service. But Hank has to carry a pager now. And it's one of those ones that light up all over like you get at a restaurant when you're waiting for your table. And every time it goes off, it means there's important church news that Hank has to check in on. The church has a football team called the Apostles. They have a word working club. They have late night movies in the theater with popcorn. Now, Peggy and Bobby just love this church, but Hank's getting a little overwhelmed. So one Sunday, he sneaks out and he goes home to watch football. He tells Lucky, who, by the way, worships at the church of the fishing pond and the neighborhood bar, that his old church didn't pay any attention to him, and his new church won't leave him alone. But it's what's interesting, it's finally the pastor of the new church. Peggy and Bobby and Luann try to do an intervention. They bring the pastor over to try to convince them he should come back to the mega church. And they say that if he doesn't, God's going to smite him. They're yelling, rebuke you, Hank. But it's the pastor who says, you know, not big churches aren't for everybody. Little churches aren't for everybody. You should go where you feel comfortable. And I think the Lord will help lead you back to your old church. When I attended church in San Diego as a layperson, I was sitting right about the third row, my seat where I always sat, in my big church. And one Sunday, there was a new couple sitting in the first two seats. And two people who had been in the church for a good 30 years walked up and asked them to move and said, those are our seats. Those people never came back. That's a little aside. It does happen. The thing is the mainline churches have all kinds of dilemmas now, regardless of denomination, whether you're a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or an Episcopalian. We all have sort of a struggle right now because the mainline churches are declining. Now, this church isn't. We've gone from 30 people to, when it's not summer, around 100 people every Sunday. And we continue to grow. And I think one of the reasons is that not one of you would ever ask somebody to move out of your seat, right? Right. This is a very welcoming church. But the church of all churches are interesting places, and it's not the same church as when I grew up, and it's sure not the same church when Marilyn or Marion grew up, or Marge, and some of the people who've been in the church for their whole lives, who are in their 80s, they have watched the church change and change. And not to mention that there's a whole bunch of different kinds of churches just even within the Christian church. There are lots of ways to worship. But the United Methodist Church is struggling along about what does it mean to be church now? I mean, a few years ago we started that slogan of open hearts, open minds, open doors. Well, recently the United Methodist Church made a decision to have a campaign that's called Rethink Church. They're spending $20 million to look at how to attract particularly younger people. And this Rethink Church has a goal that is different than traditional models. One of the spots that I read about says in the commercial, what if church wasn't just a building but thousands of doors, each of them opening up to a journey that could actually change the world. Would you come? What if the church was a literacy program for homeless children? Would you come? All the new ads and all the new communications talk about mission. They all talk about serving your community, feeding the poor, working in low-income neighborhoods. And the reason is, interestingly enough, is all the research now says that younger people want service projects. Traditional religion, in the way that I grew up with it and some of you grew up with it, they don't understand. They want a way to serve. One of the quotes was, "If I am a religious person, then I have to demonstrate that in concrete ways. It's walking the walk, not just talking the talk." And as I said earlier, just in case you didn't hear me, there is a missions committee meeting after church today for those of you who want to see what they're doing on your behalf. St. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the book of Philippians, is his most beautiful writing. It's only 4 chapters. And here are some words from St. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself and taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now you're probably wondering, what happened to Hank? Well, he ended up back at his old church because he connived and he told the Smiths, the new family, how much they would like the mega church. So they went there. He told them there was child care and all this other stuff so he could get his seats back. The pastor got mad at him and said, "Hank," he said, "well, you better say those are my seats or those people over there will find out that they have this and they have that." He started threatening. She goes, "Oh, all right, they're your seats." And he sits down and he says, "Lord, it's good to see you." See, the problem, though, with Hank was that he wasn't willing to learn from Jesus by sitting somewhere else for someone else, somewhere that would give him a new perspective. The Rethink Church initiative is going to be on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and iTunes. New perspectives on the greatest, best subject ever: God. Now, Hank might think he's the real king of the hill, but the real king of the hill, he emptied himself. He humbled himself. He gave obedience to what he believed was God's will for the world, even to the point of death, it says to us. Jesus is our king of the hill because he lived out his life from the perspective of every single person he met. He could see into their hearts. He knew where their pain was. He knew where they were hurting. He knew where they needed healing. He went to where they were. It was their perspective that was so important. He understood their plight, and he offered them the reconciling grace of God over and over again. The idea of Rethink Church is very exciting, but not because it's a campaign to grow the church, but because it's a movement to transform and touch lives, not just the people who are giving, but the people who receive. Is that not the gospel, brothers and sisters? God is calling us to look at everything through the eyes of the other person. God is calling us to empty ourselves and rethink our lives, rethink our religion, and our duty to the creation. God is calling us to ask, what does it mean to be obedient in this day, in this time? to open our hearts, our minds, and our doors so that we can stretch ourselves towards God, to have the same mind and the same heart as the King of the Hill. Amen.